Oh, 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 and Merry Christmas, friends. James Corbett here, CorbettReport.com. I hope you all had a relaxing Christmas off. I know I did. I enjoyed unwrapping presents with my family, and I've got the last cup of hot chocolate here on the go. So, yeah, hot chocolate, check. Christmas hoodie, courtesy of LibertyManiacs.com, check. What am I missing? Oh, that's right. Solutions Watch. It's time for the year-end review. Okay, as you all know by now, as I hope you all know by now, Solutions Watch has just completed its third year. And as you also hopefully know by now, every year, at the end of the year, we go through with a Solutions Watch Year in Review episode and go through every single edition of Solutions Watch from the previous year, go through feedback and commentary, get updates from the guests, etc. So there's a lot to get through as usual, but I think this is an integral part of Solutions Watch because, as I hope you know, having watched hopefully from the very beginning, you know that part of the remit of Solutions Watch is not just to throw ideas out there, but also to see what sticks to the wall and what doesn't, what's working, what isn't, what can be adjusted, what cannot be adjusted, etc. And I think if we don't take time to stop and reflect on what is working and what is not, then, well, we won't make any actual progress. So let's do exactly that, and boy, we have a lot to get through, so why don't we just get straight into it? And we'll start right here, of course, on the homepage of CorbettReport.com, where, of course, you know, just in case you can't find the latest edition of Solutions Watch or any particular edition of Solutions Watch, of course, you can go to the audio bar, click into Solutions Watch, and of course, you can scroll through every single edition of Solutions Watch that way, or you can select any one of the previous editions of Solutions Watch. Of course, you can also use one of the many, many search bars that I have up on CorbettReport.com if you're looking for a particular episode. But let's just start going through this year one by one. And you may or may not remember that the year started in January of 2024 with How to Be Happy. Yes, the first edition of Solutions Watch was the intriguingly named How to Be Happy. And this edition of Solutions Watch prompted some interesting commentary. For example, did you know that Finland is apparently the world's happiest country, at least according to the World Happiness Report rankings, based largely on life evaluations from the Gallup World Poll? Well, Login informed us of that. However, he also had the sad truth that Finland is, in fact, one of the unhappiest, loneliest, most isolated, most depressed, and alcoholic countries on Earth. And the reason that it wins is that in surveys, citizens are very satisfied with social services. It demonstrates how experts can twist reality to promote their own agenda. And we had some thoughtful feedback from, for example, iCores. I agree with Benny. Progress equals happiness. Progress in your relationships, your output, and your self-development. I think that if you can continually endeavor to be better, you will be happy, etc. So there was a lot of feedback. Some of the feedback was simply people just responding to the title of the episode without having apparently watched the episode.
Happiness is a silly concept. You shouldn't be talking about that.
Well, you didn't actually watch the episode, did you? Anyway, I hope you will at least refresh your memory of this. But someone in a few weeks after I posted this, noted that at the end of this episode, I had talked about I was going to give my answer to this question. How can you be happy? What is happiness? How do we achieve happiness? Should we achieve happiness? In what way? Well, James, you never provided your answer. Well, that's correct. I never provided it in this edition of Solutions Watch, but I did provide it a few weeks later in my editorial on 2024 and the pursuit of happiness, which starts with a quote from Thomas Hardy's poem Hap, and then goes into, well, here we are, 2024, the year of the digital ID, the year of the CBDC, the year of the Great Reset, the year of the Scamdemic Treaty, the year of the next great war, the year of the poly crisis, the year of the deepfake selection, you know, 2024, the year we learn to pursue happiness. What? You don't think those problems will afford us the opportunity to pursue our happiness? Then you don't know what happiness means. Here, let me explain. And of course, as I go on to explain in that editorial, happiness has a very specific meaning which has been lost, unfortunately, over time, so that people think that the pursuit of happiness is just a silly phrase, but it actually has some very deep philosophical meaning that I explore and go through the the etymology of that word, the development, the use of that word, how it was intended, what it really means, why it is important for us to pursue our happiness, and not in this trivial sense of hedonism. But anyway, there's a lot to dig into and chew. And also, for the Corbett Report members who sign in and actually read the editorial here on CorbettReport.com, it is available on my Substack for free, as with all my editorials. But if you actually go into the newsletter here on CorbettReport.com, there is a special subscriber-only video of me performing Thomas Hardy's Hap on guitar. I made an acoustic guitar version of that poem. So, for your listening and philosophical pleasure. All right, so the next edition of Solutions Watch came out on January 16th. It was The Greater Reset 5, in which I was talking to Derek Broz, of course, of the Conscious Resistance Network and the frequent Solutions Watch guest, who is joining us to discuss The Greater Reset 5 manifestation that I believe was taking place in Mexico at that point. And we talked about who was going to be there and what types of things were happening. And if you want to know about my own presentation that was delivered at the Greater Reset 5, well, that was an edition of Problems Watch? Yes, the next edition of Solutions Watch was Problems Watch, How Not to Build Community. And yes, as if you've seen this episode, you will know that, of course, that's a bit tongue-in-cheek. I took the opposite approach. Well, instead of presenting solutions and telling people how to build community, I instead demonstrated how not to build community and went through the 10 tips for basically failing to build community. And then, of course, I flipped it on its head and it became Solutions Watch, and I talked about how to change that into how to actually build community. So I think that was a pretty important presentation. I hope you will check it out if you have not done already. There was some interesting commentary talking about, for example, learned helplessness and learned hopefulness, etc., which I will allow you to peruse at your own leisure. Now, the next edition of Solutions Watch was Pay It Forward from February of 2024, in which I took the cue from Aaron Smith of the Subtle Cane podcast, who had this great idea that he started implementing in his own podcast. In each edition of the podcast, he would ask his listeners to pay forward their gratitude for the podcast to a various person, group, entity, whatever it may be, related to the topic that he was talking about or addressing that day. And I found out about this because I was on his podcast, or no, he was actually asking his audience to pay forward their gratitude for his podcast to my podcast. And anyway, we talked about this concept. I think it's a really intriguing concept. And as you may or may not have noticed, for the next several editions of Solutions Watch after this, I did my own Pay It Forward, asking people to pay forward their gratitude for this edition of Solutions Watch to this organization or this idea or this group or someone in your life who blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. I did that for several episodes, but I didn't hear back literally any feedback at all about that ever. Not once. Not a comment, not an email, nothing. Absolutely nothing. So it was apparently a failed idea. And I guess we'll just have to file that one under. It's a nice idea. Someone should make that work sometime. The next edition of Solutions Watch was on niche casting, which, as you will know from having listened to this episode or watched it, was a neologism that I may or may not have coined. At any rate, it's about a podcast that is a very, very specific podcast for a very specific thing, often time limited. And I gave some examples. For example, I was listening to a podcast that was following the trial of Michael Mann. Why am I having problems? I'm like, that's the director. No, not the director. The global warming guy. All right. So anyway, there was a very specific podcast that was following Mark Steyn's trial as he was being sued by Michael Mann. And just the concept of being able to follow that trial through a podcast was incredibly useful for me, as I'm someone who's listening to podcasts while I'm driving around, etc. So it was probably the only way I would have been able to actually follow that trial. And the crazy result of it which you can hear about in this edition of Niche Casting. Anyway, so I put out the idea there that, hey, this is an idea that more people should be using. And there was some great ideas and some great feedback about this and how it could be used to follow people's work. For example, Tsingy was talking about Cliff High and how he does a couple 20-minute audio files every week or so when he's driving to town or back. They're basically Cliff High brain dumps. Okay, great. Someone else was talking about Derek Brose's fluoride work, Home Remedy Supply, and Minnie and others were talking about the fluoride trial. So the idea of putting that into a little niche cast that people could download as developments take place is a great idea. There's a lot more specific examples and suggestions in here. I think it is a great idea, and I really do think that there's much more to be mined from this idea. So I really hope that in the future, for example, people who are putting on conferences and symposia and, you know, gatherings and meetings and activations and other such things, it would be great not only to post them up on Odyssey or Rumble or whatever, but also, why not just make a podcast of that, where you can go through and each single presentation will be available as its own downloadable podcast. I would listen the hell out of that if somebody did that. Not naming any names, not making any suggestions, I'm just saying. I would listen the hell out of that if somebody did that. So anyway, the next edition of Solutions Watch appeared in February of 2024. It was called Achieving Epstein Justice, and in that conversation, it was a conversation with Nick Bryant, and we talked about his organization, Epstein Justice, which he co-directs, and that is seeking justice for the victims of Jeffrey Epstein and his co-conspirators. So I will, of course, direct you towards this edition of Epstein of Solutions Watch to find out more about that organization, what it does, what it's seeking to achieve, why it's important. But why don't we take it straight from Nick? He was kind enough to supply this video update for us for part of this year-end review.
My name is Nick Bryant, and I'm the director of Epstein Justice. Jeffrey Epstein trafficked underage girls for 25 years, and he's the most prolific American child trafficker ever acknowledged by federal law enforcement. By not investigating and indicting Epstein's co-conspirators, our federal government is covering up child sex trafficking, which in our legal system translates into aiding and abetting child trafficking. A government that aids and abets child trafficking has woefully failed its citizens. According to the Centers for Disease Control, 25% of underage girls and 5% of underage boys in the United States have been molested, translating into more than 42 million women and 8 million men. Everyone can agree that our government shouldn't be in the business of aiding and abetting child trafficking. And no one can say that our message is predicated on a conspiracy theory. As a country dedicated to children's safety, we must take a stand and pressure the government to bring the Epstein procurers and perpetrators to justice. We cannot send a message to the world that perpetrators in America who have wealth and power can molest our children with impunity. And if we allow the Justice Department to be apathetic and unresponsive to victims in a proven trafficking case, that sends a message to millions of victims that they have no voice and no hope for justice. Epstein Justice is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to establishing a federal Truth and Reconciliation Commission that has two objectives. First, we demand transparency and to know why the government is covering up child sex trafficking. Second, we want the procurers and perpetrators in the Epstein network to be prosecuted. Forming a social movement around the crimes and cover-ups of Jeffrey Epstein might be the only hope of effecting meaningful change in our government during our lifetimes. The balkanization of the left and the right has been a superlative tactic to divide and conquer Americans. In fact, the idea that children shouldn't be molested with impunity might be the only issue that can unite the severely balkanized right and left and generate a critical mass of Americans who demand action. The Republicans and Democrats are equally guilty of covering up the crimes of Jeffrey Epstein. The Justice Department under four presidential administrations, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and Joseph Biden, have failed to indict the perpetrators and procurers in Epstein's pedophile network. Epstein justice is not about politics. It is about the protection of our children. As Americans, we need to know why four presidential administrations have covered up the crimes of Jeffrey Epstein and his cadre of co-conspirators. This year, we started Epstein Justice Town Hall Forums, which will enable us to build a nationwide infrastructure. I realize that Epstein justice will be a difficult road to hoe, and the apathy of Americans may seem insurmountable. But we at least need to try, not only for the sake of our children, but for the sake of our society. This is a battle for the soul of America. So please transcend your apathy and cynicism and visit EpsteinJustice.com. Again, EpsteinJustice.com. And thank you.
Thank you to Nick Bryant for providing that update. And people who are interested in Nick Bryant and Epstein justice in general can, of course, follow the link from the show notes of that edition of Solutions Watch back to his organization to find out more about what he's doing. So let's move right along to the next edition of Solutions Watch, which came out February 27th of 2024, How to Stop the WHO. Of course, as people will, hopefully, in my audience, will remember, the World Health Organization was putting together its scamdemic treaty throughout much of the year, and there was a lot of activism and motion and movement around rallying against that idea. So that was addressed specifically in this edition of Solutions Watch. And if you want to know how that went, well, I do have an update on that from Solutions Watch guest Meryl Nass coming up later in our review here. So let's move on to the next edition of Solutions Watch, which was Corbett on Quartal, which came out on March 6th of 2024. And of course, this harkens back to a Solutions Watch from 2023 that I did on the concept of decentralized communication, where we looked at a number of different ideas, Bastion, Nostr, Minds, and Quartal, and looked at how they can be used to provide some, if not uncensorable, at least less censorable forms of decentralized communication. So if people want the sort of the basic background on Quartal and what it is and where it comes from, they can see that edition of Solutions Watch. But that was followed up in March of this year with my conversation with Mike Swadek, who took it upon himself to create a Corbett Report mirror on Quartal. Yes, for those who don't know, there is a Quartal mirror of the Corbett Report, and everything that I post gets mirrored over here, and Mike is very good about that. In fact, he will often get in touch with me if I've got a wrong link or a wrong MP4 file linked up on the website or something like that. He's usually the first to let me know, because he is busily mirroring all of this information over on Quartal. And yes, it really literally is everything. So if you want the latest newsletter, for example, well, the editorial is right here on Quartal, and you can go and read through it to your heart's content. So that's a very, very handy resource. I'm very grateful for Mike for putting that together. And Mike was kind enough to provide a video update about the Quartal project in general, and specifically Corbett on Quartal and how it's going.
Hi, it's hard to believe Corbett's been on Quartal for a whole year now. The site includes all the best from, or the best of Corbett Report, which you find these days at the start button. Also, everything from open source education and the entire last 12 months of content from Corbett Report. We also have a new search facility in the header of all pages that was done by a supporter who goes by the name Unregistered. So check that out. We're also now using a Q app called QShare to publish the audio files and also PDFs, which we're using a lot more of now, instead of links to web pages that could be disappeared. We have about 360 episodes on Corbett on Quartal now, and that's approaching twice as much as we started with a year ago, so that's pretty cool. The Super Like donations have reached 489 quart, and James has designated those as to be used as payment for coders that want to help us out in some things we need to do, which include creating an audio fork of the QTube app, also scripts to import new newsletters and podcasts that have just been published, import those into Qortal. Also, we need scripts to import all the things that haven't been published yet into archives, and that would be also newsletter articles and podcasts. You can learn about Qortal programming on Qortal in a QTube app. Just search for the name Qortal Programmer for the username, and all of those will come up. There are also Qortal programmers that would like to help you learn, so you can ask questions of them, and that's available as well. Feedback and questions about this episode can be put in the show notes of this episode. Also, you can, within the Qortal environment, send me a chat or a Qmail to my username there, PPM Silver. That's like parts per million silver. That's how you find me there. When you're in the QTube videos, select follow to support the site, and your node will then host all the content so it's more accessible for others. And lastly, in the show notes, you'll find three links to gateways where you can see the Corbett Report on Qortal. My 3 minutes is up, so y'all have a nice year.
Why, thank you, Mike, and you have a nice year, too. And I hope people are appreciative of what Mike is doing, because when inevitably they do start censoring domains themselves on the clear and open internet, Corbett on Qortal might be the last place that you find my work. So a huge thank you to Mike for doing that work completely out of the goodness of his own heart. I hope people are appreciative of that and will at least check it out. And if there are people on Qortal who do support that work, as he mentioned, any quart that are donated to the Corbett on Qortal project, I have directed Mike to redirect that back into Qortal and to use that to pay coders who will be working on various Qortal-related projects to make that a better and more robust system. So I hope people will check that out if they are so inclined. Let's move on to the next edition of Solutions Watch, which came out on March 12th of 2024, Winning the Meme War, in which I talked to a couple of different guests about the meme wars, as it were, Rick Fry and Ann Gibbons. We talked about their very different ways of using visual art to try to bring people's attention to information that matters, and you can find some interesting commentary in the comment section there, including some heated back and forth between the aforementioned Rick Fry, aka Prophetic Memetics, and some of the Corbetteers who beg to differ. So there was some interesting back and forth, but just to drive home the point that yes, this is and continues to be a pretty big important thing to keep our eyes on. Well, a few stories from this year that we could point to, probably many, but here's just a few that occurred to me. One from April of 2024, Australian PM calls to ban memes, incites wave of memes. So you can find the memes that were generated from that, that call to ban memes. Also, Trudeau gifts the world with a new teaching meme in which, yes, he made the mistake of appearing before a whiteboard, which cannot be done in this day and age without it instantly turning into a meme template that was then memed to high heaven. But more ominously, from just last month, politicians versus memes sparks free speech crisis in Germany, which notes that creeping censorship as legal cases over social media insults soar under the ruling coalition's watch. So they note that a former German Chancellor Angela Merkel may have come up with this idea of allowing politicians to sue for alleged defamation by critics. But under the new ruling coalition, there have been over 1,300 such cases just in the last 3 years alone, with Vice Chancellor Robert Habeck's new idea, ominous idea, to combine decency and democracy into more stringent rules that would prevent what he considers unacceptable criticism. Yes, indeed. Some pretty worrying things there on that front. So, but that is just actually to underscore the importance of memes, visual representations, visual encapsulations of complicated political ideas down into things that can be easily understood and shared because they are entertaining, funny, engaging. That is a genuine threat, and that is exactly and precisely why they are cracking down on that as hard as it as can be legally done at this point until they move the Overton window over towards outright total censorship. We're almost there, but while we have free speech left, memes may be an important thing to keep in your arsenal, so I hope people will take a look back at that winning the meme war for some more ideas on how that can be done. Let's move on to the next edition of Guerrilla Solutions Watch on guerrilla marketing, which I hope you will recall is a conversation featuring and centering on Ernest Hancock of freedomsphoenix.com and his incredible guerrilla marketing idea. We looked at a few different ideas. We talked to him, for example, in a previous Solutions Watch about his newspaper template for people to download and create their own local newspaper and distribute that out. Well, this time we were talking about the trash can flyers that he came up with. This really remarkable and effective little idea for how to grab people's attention in the most interesting way possible. If you don't remember what the trash can flyer is about, please do reconsult this edition of Solutions Watch. I think it's worth your time and attention. Some of the feedback included from Ernie, who included the link, which includes links to download the templates that can be edited for local uses. And so you can start your own trash can flyer campaign if you like. Also, he has the newspaper templates that are available for download. Some excellent activist tools that I hope people will take advantage of. And he shows exactly why this is so effective. It does grab people's attention. And he included a link to this news report, which shows that, yes, these trash can flyers certainly do grab people's attention. And, well, they definitely get some media publicity whenever he does this campaign. So, anyway, it's good to know. And so there was a lot of commentary of people with various ideas for things that you can do that are relatively simple that can pass the word on in an effective way. For example, Troy notes business cards and flyers are super easy and reasonably cheap. He also notes the light paper is an excellent example of truth or news and also has an Irish version, lots of local, but plenty global, and of course, what comes around. And people will remember that from my previous edition of Solutions Watch on newspapers, I did talk about the light paper. So, yes, I hope you are familiar with that. Anyway, also, Abby wrote, I'm thinking to write some messages on good old cash while I still can, as in paper money, only it's plastic now, and put it into circulation, like Wake Up, CorbettReport.com, or They Will Kill Cash Sooner Than You Think, Do Your Research, or They Know who You Slept With Last Night and Where You Are Right Now, Sever Yourself From the Matrix, or whatever. And, yep, that's a time-honored old tactic that people have probably come across. Various messages scribbled on their cash, at least back when people used to use cash. Susie Alchemist also came up with an idea like that. A nice little attention getter is a shiny finished flyer printed to look like a UK 20-pound note on the one side, and on the other side, a few reasons are given as to why we need to keep cash going regarding CBDCs. Our notes are now plastic, no longer paper, and so the flyer has that shiny finish, and when folded, money side looking out, and left on the bus / train or dropped on a shop floor, it looks just like a genuine 20 quid. People inevitably will pick it up, and though in some cases may well throw it away again in disgust, what, it's not real? In other instances, I'm sure it gets attention when unfolded. I know I was impressed when I first saw it. So there's lots of great little ideas like that, and I'm glad people are sharing them. I hope people are making use of them in their own activist efforts. But let's move on to the next edition of Solutions Watch from April 17th of 2024 on Suing the Tyrants, where I talked about various ideas for bringing lawsuits in various contexts to try to, well, at the very least, head off tyranny or put some legal blocks against it. Not that that, of course, will protect you. No, this is not the one-stop solution for everything, and we will solve it all through the court system, and that's not what I was trying to say. But I was trying to draw people's attention to the potential utility of things like notices of liability and other such means of holding government officials personally accountable for their behavior, and I asked people to send in any specific examples they had of times that they've used and or successfully used this and received basically no responses in that front. So we will file this also under the "it's a nice idea, someone should try it sometime." Next edition of Solutions Watch was How to Defeat a Gatekeeper from April 24th of 2024. One of the shortest, simplest, punchiest Solutions Watch I've ever put forward, in which I make the very simple point that the only gatekeeper who can possibly gatekeep your mind is you. And you can get around any supposed gatekeeper that exists out there simply by ignoring them, going around them, not listening to them, not obeying their orders, not to look into this or that thing. And it's a pretty simple point. A lot of people got it. Dave67 writes, "Yes, indeed, James, that's sound advice in a position I've held since childhood." G says, "Well said." Singy says, "Seems pretty obvious, so why isn't it?" And Locke, "So powerful and true, your passion and feistiness is palpable. Enclosed, please find one, air hug," etc., etc. Lots of feedback like that, but also feedback way down here from username who pointed out episode 285, "Meet Noam Chomsky, academic gatekeeper." There's no gatekeeper but yourself, eh, James? Oh, you got me. I've never considered that. Wow, I made a podcast about a gatekeeper, and now I'm saying that there's no such thing as a gatekeeper. Well, actually, people, I hope, noticed that a few days later, I reposted a 2021 interview that I did, in which I directly and specifically addressed that particular point, years before it was even brought up. So, if you want my answer to that, it is directly in this edition of the Corbett Report interview series, where I was on the Counterflow with Buck Johnson. James Corbett talks power, narrative, and conspiracy from 2021. And the answer specifically to that question is right there in that interview, years before it was even asked. Moving along, the next edition of Solutions Watch was How to Scale a Paywall and Other Useful Tips, in which I just provided some simple tech tips, but that I found effective and that have helped me, for example, scale a paywall. So as you know, if you try to go into, say, a New York Times article or something, "Oh, you've read too many New York Times articles this month, you can't read this one," or what have you, Washington Post or Wall Street Journal or whatever it is. People see this on MSM sites. How do you get around that? Well, I offered some examples of ways people can get around that and some other useful tech tips, and some other people chimed in with tech tips of their own. For example, Duck, "When saving web pages, it's best to use the print option. Firefox top right three little bars is the button to get menu. And print to file to save as PDF so you can edit it with Ocular. It lets you freehand notes, type notes, underline, do colored highlights, do arrows at stuff, and the annotations can be read by other doc viewers as long as you remember to save changes." And then good for Linux and Windows, and he provides a link there. So some good examples of ideas that people had. Mini, for example. "Over the years, I've had diminishing success using archive.is or .today or whatever. So instead, I put the title of the paywalled article in quotes into a search engine. I did that with a recent NYT paywalled article on geoengineering. Warming is getting worse. So they just tested a way to deflect the sun and got a free copy of it from the Virgin Island Daily News." All right. Yeah, that is an excellent point. Sometimes you don't need some fancy, complicated site, whatever, to find a way around the paywall. Sometimes it is just posted elsewhere and you just, yeah, just put the title in quotation marks and see if you can find it somewhere else. So a nice, simple idea that hopefully people can take advantage of. The next edition of Solutions Watch came out on May 22nd. It was called Living Fiat Free. And I trust you will remember this. It was a conversation with liberty activist Aaron Day about proposals for coming up with solutions to the coming CBDC tyranny. And he's not just talking out of his posterior. He is talking from experience, specifically because, as he notes in that conversation, he has been living fiat free, has not used fiat currency since 2019. That's 5 years and counting. How on earth did he do that? Well, that's what he talked about in this edition of Solutions Watch. And I know it was a popular one, a lot of positive feedback from a lot of people who were excited about the things that he was talking about and the ideas. And also some, there was some interesting commentary sort of back and forth on complacency or apathy towards the CBDC threat. For example, OpenLens, "This all sounds so complex. Good thing I have no money to worry about, but Right. And there was some interesting back and forth on that point. For example, Fawlty Towers coming in. I don't think anyone should rest on their laurels concerning CBDCs and be complacent simply because they aren't wealthy, because that would be the tip of the iceberg. And then it's talking about the ways that everything can be controlled. Movement, way of life, socializing, food, etc. through that CBDC paradigm. So it's not just about, oh, I'm broke this month, so what does it matter? And there was some good back and forth about that and what that means. But more importantly, what about Aaron Day? And has he succumbed to fiat currency, or is he still going on with his campaign? What happened to the DEFCON 1 campaign that he was launching to find a way to transact a good wallet for transacting privately in crypto, etc.? How did all that go? Well, thankfully, Aaron Day was kind enough to provide a little update for us. So let's take a look at that.
Hey, everyone. It's Aaron here. I just wanted to give you an update since my last chat with James on Solution Watch and to wish everyone a happy holidays. There's a lot to unpack, and I've only got 3 minutes, so I'll get right to it. The first update, it's very urgent. We all need to support Roger Ver. Roger is looking at 109 years in federal prison for made-up charges and political persecution from the federal government regarding his involvement in Bitcoin and his support of the freedom movement. So I won't go into all the details here. Check it out at freerogernow.org. Please sign the open letter and share with everyone. CBDCs are still looking very ominous. The election didn't change that. If anything, what you're going to see is the new administration looking to give more control to the banks through bank-issued stablecoins. And I will tell you that a JP Morgan stablecoin is indistinguishable from a CBDC. I've also written an article, which you can check out at the Brownstone Institute at brownstone.org, where I highlight the fact that we already have a CBDC. It's just about the levels of tyranny. When I was on last, I was talking about my project DEFCON 1, which is to either build or find easy-to-use crypto wallets and point-of-sale systems. So I have some good news and big updates on that front. I've started to work with and have partnered with Cake Wallet, which I believe is the best wallet out there. It's an open-source wallet that works with multiple cryptocurrencies. As I indicated last time I was on, there's now a real urgency for privacy coins because most cryptos like Bitcoin and Ethereum can all be tracked. So Cake Wallet was built for Monero, has several other coins. It will be adding Zeno. You can buy gift certificates. You can swap for other cryptocurrencies. So very excited about that. Zeno will be live next month. Also looking at Now Payments for a point of sale system. They will also be integrating Zeno. So that's very exciting. Additionally, there is a new offering coming up. It's a separate blockchain called Confidential Layer. What Confidential Layer allows you to do is take your Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Bitcoin Cash and actually bridge it into Zeno. So in other words, this is a technology that allows you to make transparent blockchains and other assets private. So this is a huge development. Also, I will be launching next year a gold-backed privacy stablecoin called Karma. You can check that out at kaurma.com. And then next year, I will begin workshops again in January, have some trips planned all over the world. We have trips coming up in Mexico, Europe, and more details will be forthcoming. You can check all of that information out at my website, daylightfreedom.org. I hope everyone has a happy holiday, and I look forward to talking to you in the new year. Thank you.
Thank you to Aaron Day for that update. I hope people who are interested will be keeping an eye on Aaron and his work and his DEFCON 1 project and everything else besides in 2025. I know I will be, but hot chocolate getting cold over here. Anyway, let's move on to the next edition of Solutions Watch from June 4th of 2024 on the fight for health freedom continues, which was the follow-up to the World Health Organization scamdemic treaty coverage that I'd been doing, well, really for the past couple of years since the inception of the idea first twinkled in the globalist's eye. I've been talking about the coming scamdemic treaty and how it would be the culmination of everything that the scamdemic was really about. And, well, we had the good news, tentatively good news, that at the very least, at the 77th World Health Assembly, they did not pass the scamdemic treaty as planned. They did not gavel down on whatever they put down there. The amendments to the IHR were adopted, but the World Health Assembly did not adopt a scamdemic treaty, and negotiations would continue ongoing. So the globalists certainly did not get everything they were looking for at that 77th World Health Assembly, which was really the 75th anniversary of the WHO. It was going to be the big unveiling, the great celebratory event. They did not get that. And so I talked to James Roguski about what he felt about that. But the real update here is towards just the tail end of the year, we had this incredible news. The pandemic treaty negotiators conclude their week-long meeting in Geneva right now without an agreement. Ding dong, the treaty is dead. And this comes from doortofreedom.org, noting that the continuation of the Intergovernmental Negotiating Body, the INB's resumed session of its 12th official meeting, is yet another dud. Amid a desperate attempt to pull a rabbit out of a hat and conclude some kind of pandemic treaty this week, this was a few weeks ago now, to be rapidly followed by a special WHO meeting of either the World Health Assembly or a Council of Ministers to adopt the treaty, the best laid plans of mice and men have again fallen through, which notes that this special emergency resumed rush session from December 2nd to 6th ended in, well, essentially disaster. They did not agree on a treaty. They did not sign on any dotted line. Nothing was agreed. The can was kicked down even further down the road. But as Meryl Nass points out in this update, meanwhile, the House Oversight Select Committee report and its after-action review, which I hope you have read by now, on the pandemic panned the pandemic treaty, saying it was bad for the U.S., and that if it was adopted, it should go through the Senate confirmation process, which means that at least for the U.S., the pandemic treaty is a total bust. The U.S. will not become a party. And Meryl rightly takes some credit for that, with the help of many others, as she was at the forefront ringing the alarm and getting activism, really, literally, traveling the globe, talking to parliaments and doing all sorts of activism to raise attention and awareness to the issue. And the negotiators will continue their meetings through the end of May, but they know the U.S. will not be a party, which puts a damper on their plans. It sure does. So this is a great example of a Solutions Watch, I think a Solutions Watch success. No, it's not like they've rolled over and died and they've gone away and the globalists are done forever and we can all just go back to eating cheeseburgers and drinking beer and partying for the rest of our lives. Of course not. Don't be silly. But people standing up en masse, becoming aware of and active on issues can make a difference. They do need our consent, at the very least, our passive non-resistance to, oh, okay, whatever, there's nothing we can do. When people stand up, they can make a difference. And that is an important thing to realize. They do need our consent and our support to go ahead with their plans, which is why they spend so much time trying to manipulate our news feeds and get us to want the solutions that they're trying to shove down our throat, which are not solutions at all. So anyway, yay. Let's move on. The next edition of Solutions Watch on June 10th of 2024 was about replacing Hollywood. Why do we need they, them, those to feed us our entertainment through the Hollywood industrial complex, which we know is a despicable and horrible place where child abuse and all sorts of other things thrive? Why do we need Hollywood entertainment to make us think and understand and feel and do all the things that humans naturally do? Yes, we do need stories, and we do love entertainment and stories as a way of understanding and coming to a better understanding of our lives and our worlds. That's a good and healthy thing, but it is not good that that has been monopolized, essentially, or at least cartelized by the Hollywood sleazeballs. So how do we get around that? Well, we talked to Thies Snyder, an independent filmmaker who managed to make a professional feature-length film called Hold Me without any studio support whatsoever, and then released it for free. You're welcome very much. And so we talked about that film, about the idea of replacing Hollywood, what people can do. There was, as always, some good commentary, but I especially want to draw people's attention to an important comment from N810, who, in the context of talking about some film by Kentsey Norbu, Pig at the Crossing, he said, "I've written to them," the filmmakers, "to encourage them to start their own festival," because their film was being rejected from film festivals. "Festivals are one way to introduce movie and creative content. As such, consider creating your own market rather than begging the establishment like they're going to change their afflicted ways. Make them redundant and instead do sensible community works." Excellent idea. I think that's really part of the way forward. Yeah. Oh, yay, the Academy Awards. Ooh, who won the Oscar this year? Who cares? If we're going to replace Hollywood, we need to replace the entire system, the industry that supports it, and all of the glam and glitz of the officially approved film festivals and filmmakers going on bended knee. Oh, please let me screen my film at your festival. No, let's make our own festivals and let's celebrate people who are making content that matters. I think that's a great idea. And hey, if someone took that up and really started and was promoting their own Truth or Film Festival or whatever it is, well, that might be a potential solutions watch in the future. But in the meantime, well, how about Teese and what is he up to right now? Well, Teese Snider was kind enough to film a short video update about where he's at and what he's got, what projects he's working on currently.
Hey James, it's Teese here from Conspiracy Synergy. We talked earlier this year going into the idea of replacing Hollywood and what some of the solutions for that are, what it looks like, and this is an update on Solution Watch. Thanks again for having me on so we can talk. And the update is that I'm doing a series of mini documentaries that go into the story of people in the truth community. The first one I've already done, and it's going to be available for everyone once this goes on air, and that's of Graham and Darren from Grimerica. They've been around for about 12 years. It goes into their censorship, all the things I've talked about, a little brief glimpse into their life. And I want to create other mini docs featuring maybe the wonderful James Corbett. Pretty please, that'd be amazing. Come on, let's talk. Let's do a doc on you so I can share your story and help everybody come to realize how influential you've been in all of our lives. So thanks for that. The next one that I do have lined up, I know I'm going to be doing already, is going to be in Nashville, Tennessee for the birthday of Ryan from Last American Vagabond and my co-host over at AM Wake Up. Actually, I'm the co-host. He's the host. But Steve, they're going to be throwing a big Third Eye Carnival bash in Tennessee, and that's a good place to come out, and I'm going to be there doing a documentary. So it's going to be all of us hanging out together in the truth community. And that's a big part of what I want to do is tell the story of the truth community. Because I've written a feature film script that elaborates on the short film that had me on your show about 12 or 15 years ago, Blindfold. For those of you who haven't seen Blindfold yet, it's already available for free. It's the first 22 minutes of what I intend to turn into a feature film movie. And it's going to be those actors reprising their roles in order to tell the story of the truth community, all the way from what it felt like decades ago to what it's going to be like as that truth continues to emerge. So the larger truth documentary that I'm making of many different people's stories is going to be one documentary that's put out there for free, and that's going to be embedded in the feature film story that's going to take the next 5 or so years to make. So the idea of replacing Hollywood, it takes very long time, takes a lot of funding, a lot of help from a lot of different people, but that's the basic game plan, is to create multiple different projects that are given away for free that help everybody in the truth community, that tell the story of the reality that's hidden from the mainstream. Because of this censorship industrial complex, we need to break out. We need to be able to do something about that. So that's what I want to help do. And that's what I'm up to. And thanks again for having me on to talk about solutions. It's been great, James, and I'll talk to you later. Have a good one.
Thank you very much to Teese for providing that update. I hope people will continue to follow his work through the coming year and years as he gets Blindfold, the feature-length film, put together. I'm very interested to see that as it continues to unfold. So let's keep our eye on Teese, and of course you can visit his site for more information. But let's move on to the next edition of Solutions Watch, which came out on June 17th of this past year. And it was on regenerative agriculture. And specifically, people will remember, this is in the context just a few days after the release of episode 460 of the Corbett Report podcast on the future of food, which was a very important mini podcastumentary on the new technologies that are coming out to change our understanding of food altogether and to make it into something completely different. I hope you have checked out the future of food by now. That is a very important piece of information, but perhaps even more important is what do we do about it? And that was the explicit question that I raised in regenerative agriculture. And for people who don't know what regenerative agriculture is, please visit or revisit this edition of Solutions Watch, where I talk about it in some detail and provide many links to many different sources and different people who are talking about this. But very specifically, I talked to Corbett Report member Gavin Mouncey, who has, of course, his own Substack. He also does the Mouncey Minute on Morning Monarchy that I'm sure people are familiar with by now. And we had a good conversation about regenerative agricultural practices and about Gavin's book, etc. So I hope people have seen that edition of Solutions Watch. And Gavin was kind enough to film an update about what's going on in his neck of the woods and in his garden these days. So let's go to Gavin.
Hello, James and fellow Corbeteers. Since we spoke in last June, I've had many people write me who share that they're Corbett Report members who got a copy of my book and were sharing their experiences of growing the seeds and their plans for the future. Thanks, Brian from No Mask Channel in Japan. Thank you, Abby from England. Thank you, General Bottle Washer. And thank you, Steve Connolly, for the message you sent me. It means the world. Since then, I've been working on writing articles for my next book, Studying the Forest, as a way to connect with the natural abundance in nature. So let me take you on a little field trip to the forest where I've been doing some field research. Here we are in one of the very last intact, old-growth Carolinian forests in southern Ontario. Now, why that's significant is as someone who's studying regenerative agroforestry, or food forest design, I can come here and see nature's original design structure for how these trees grow together with each other. And when I find trees like this tulip tree here, which provides medicine for people, as well as nectar for bees, and I find the shagbark hickory, and I find the black walnut, and I find the beech, and many others, I can see how they integrate themselves with different trees, emulate that in my food forest designs, and then build on that, adding other stacked functions like growing mushrooms underneath. This here is a shagbark hickory tree. These are a very long-lived tree. They can live over 300 years, producing nutrient-dense and delicious nuts that resemble pecans for over 200 years of their lifespan. These trees don't require pesticides, herbicides, tilling the ground, irrigation. They produce a copious amount of food with very little effort. If you look for these trees up in the northern areas of the Norfolk County of Ontario and by Lake Huron, you'll find unnaturally high concentrations of these trees alongside many other food and medicine plants that were planted by Indigenous peoples hundreds of years ago. So this tree was used in regenerative agroforestry as part of Ontario's ancient history. This is something we can learn from for producing food in the future. This here is an old-growth tulip tree, one of the tallest members of the Carolinian forest. It can provide medicine for humans as well as habitat for birds of prey. And if you have bees, the amount of nectar these flowers produce is amazing. And this is a wild pawpaw tree. This tree is one of the trees that you can grow as an understory tree underneath your super canopy trees like tulip trees and your nut trees like shagbark hickory. So we create a multi-storied ecosystem that's producing food for humans as well as habitat for non-human beings. And it's something we can gift to future generations. That's going to be the focus of my next book, allowing people and communities to create resilient food production systems that align seamlessly with the abundance of nature. I've been working on applying these concepts in my local community, and I can't share too many details on a project I'm working on yet, but these images give you a hint. And who knows, maybe an idea for a future Solutions Watch. You can use the discount code EmbodyTheSolution for discounts on my book. All annual paid subscriptions to my Substack also get a free digital copy. If you check out my Substack, you're going to find in-depth articles on each of the species that I just talked about in the forest. And also, check out the Mouncy Minute, which airs the second Wednesday of each month on Media Monarchy with me and James Evan Pilato. Here's to making 2025 a year of increased health and food sovereignty through teaming up with regenerative agriculture in the garden.
Thank you to Gavin for that update, and I don't know what community food forest idea he's working on, but I, for one, am excited to see that and to see what develops in 2025. But let's keep rolling ahead. The next edition of Solutions Watch was from June 19th, and it was on winning the fluoride fight. And that was a bit of a hopeful title because, of course, as people who have watched the episode will know, that was recorded with lead attorney for the plaintiffs in the fluoride lawsuit, Michael Connett, before any verdict had been delivered in that case. Specifically, this, of course, is Food and Water Watch et al. V. United States Environmental Protection Agency et al. And, of course, all of the information about that fluoride lawsuit, the context of it, interviews with various participants that were recorded by Derek Brose, who's been doing incredible work covering this case for years now. All of the information surrounding it was there in that edition of Solutions Watch. But this is another, I think, Solutions Watch success story where, yes, winning the fluoride fight indeed, because as people may or may not have seen, the remarkable decision that I think a lot of people would have poo-pooed before they saw it, fluoride in drinking water poses enough risk to merit new EPA action. Judge says, and this AP write-up says that a federal judge has ordered the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to further regulate fluoride in drinking water because high levels could pose a risk to the intellectual development of children. And They go on to say, it's not certain that the amount of fluoride typically added to water is causing lower IQ in kids, but the judge concluded that mounting research points to an unreasonable risk that it could be. And then they cite Ashley Mullen, a University of Florida researcher who has studied the effect of higher fluoride levels in pregnant women, who says, this is the most historic ruling in the U.S. fluoridation debate that we've ever seen. Well, yes, I think it is. And yes, it's certainly, again, it's not a 100% total victory. It's all out of the fluoride, all out of the drinking water tomorrow. But it is an incredible about face. And I hope people understand the significance of this in its context. If not, type fluoride into the Corbett Report search bar. I did lots of coverage of this issue back a decade plus ago that sets the context for it, specifically in the United States. But I will note a couple of things. I mean, one, yes, this is just even raising this subject in a serious way with gravitas, with a federal judge ruling on this, is an incredibly important thing. Again, specifically because, do you remember when the CDC called water fluoridation one of the 10 greatest public health achievements of the 20th century? Yes, back in 2015, they were able to get away with that, and most people would just blindly have believed it. After the scamdemic, however, and people suddenly put on their thinking caps, hey, maybe we shouldn't just take such pronouncements at face value. Well, that kind of undermines that. Yeah, hey, I wonder why most of the rest of the world doesn't fluoridate their water, but the U.S. does, and it's one of the greatest public health achievements of the 20th century. I wonder if there's something going on here. But also, you will note that in this AP article, I think they completely mischaracterized the actual ruling. So, of course, I will provide the link to the actual ruling itself so people can read through it for themselves and come to their own decision. But I read this as the court finds that fluoridation of water at 0.7 milligrams per liter, the level presently considered optimal in the United States, poses an unreasonable risk of reduced IQ in children, which is, I think, considerably stronger than the way they characterize it in this AP whitewash. But anyway, again, do please read through this ruling at your leisure. I think it's an important and landmark case, and it comes with some real implications for water fluoridation in the United States and elsewhere going forward. It doesn't mean that it's all gone overnight, but there is a change in public understanding of this issue that is taking place, and we would ignore that to our own detriment. Someone, again, who is covering this issue and has been from the very beginning, Derek Brose, wrote a very, very good summary article, "With Fluoride Back in the News, Americans Are Once Again Being Told to Trust the Science." And he goes through and talks about the context and history of this case, the ruling, what it means, and what it might mean for a potential RFK-led HHS, etc. I mean, there's some important stuff going on this front right now. So I hope, at the very least, Americans who are directly affected by this pay attention, but also people in other countries that may or may not be fluoridating their water supply should probably be keeping an eye on this. And I think it's a pretty amazing development that we've seen just in the past few months. All right, next edition of Solutions Watch was on banning chemtrails, and we talked to Peter Kirby, a longtime chemtrails activist researcher who's been talking about this subject for years and years. I've talked to him before, and we talked about some of the Save Our Skies and other types of initiatives that have been cropping up recently, and some states that have been passing laws about banning chemtrails and things. Some really interesting updates, although here's the update that I got in my email inbox after posting this, zerogeoengineering.com, easy for me to say, which was mentioned in this episode, specifically wrote in to say, "The program mischaracterized zerogeoengineering.com. Our website strictly uses legal and legislative terms and avoids clickbait and conspiracy language, etc., etc." So they just want you to know, if you're a Corbett Reporter, and you're one of those crazy, kooky conspiracy theorists who talks about chemtrails and what have you, zerogeoengineering.com doesn't want anything to do with you, and they don't want you to click on their website or promote their work in any way whatsoever. Lesson learned. Don't worry, you ain't getting any more of my attention, that's for sure. But more seriously, Peter Kirby did follow up with a video update for this edition of Solutions Watch.
Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. I am Peter Kirby, author of the book Chemtrails Exposed, A New Manhattan Project, and a staff writer at Activist Post. Earlier this year, I appeared on James Corbett's Solutions Watch. As of July 10th, we discussed the bills currently moving through state legislatures that effectively ban geoengineering. Since that time, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the MAHA movement, Make America Healthy Again, have been making noises like there is going to be an official investigation of chemtrails and geoengineering. If there is an official investigation into chemtrails and geoengineering, the operative question should be, who is doing this? Well, I have good news. Since 2010, the main thrust of my research has been that question exactly. Who is doing this? Who do we subpoena? I have a long list of people and organizations that are most probably involved in all of this. Let's take a look at some of them, shall we? Now, what you see on the screen here is, as I said, a very short list. I have scores more of people and organizations that deserve subpoenas in an official investigation, but let's just take a look at some of the highlighted ones here. How about the Central Intelligence Agency? My research indicates that they are the overall day-to-day manager of what I call the New Manhattan Project. What about John Brennan? He got up in front of the Council on Foreign Relations and strongly advocated for spraying us with tens of thousands of megatons of toxic materials every year. Justice needs to be done here, people. What kind of precedent would it set if all these people and organizations responsible for omniciding the Earth just get away with it? Society is at a crossroads. If we go down the right road, all these people and organizations will be punished for their crimes. If you want to look more into my work and look into the evidence that substantiates my claims, please go to Amazon, find my book, Chemtrails Exposed, A New Manhattan Project. I have two other books available as well. If you want to see everything that I'm doing, please go to my website, peteracurby.com. Thank you.
Well, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year right back at you, Peter Kirby. Corbett? people learn how to pronounce my name one of these years. Okay, anyway, moving right along. The next edition of Solutions Watch was Our Summit for Our Future, in which, I hope you'll recall, I talked to Dan Aston Gregory about the Summit of the Future. No, not the UN Summit. The Our Summit for Our Future response to that UN hogwash that took place in Bath, England in September. And for people who didn't catch it, well, don't worry. Of course, all of the presentations are there available for your viewing pleasure. I especially appreciated the Day 2 Agorism and Parallel Networks symposium. But of course, you can go and explore that at your leisure. The link will be in the show notes for those who are interested. Lots of, I think, interesting and important information there that I hope people will keep in mind. And in fact, I'll just draw attention to this comment down at the bottom here from Caroline D., who wrote that, just wanted to drop you a quick note. We are busy setting up our own personal solution consisting of buying 19 acres of land and converting it into a food oasis, so I have limited time. I try and watch all your Solutions Watch episodes. Appreciate you concentrating on what we can all do and how people are organizing to create a truly wonderful world. Thank you for that, Caroline, and if you have any updates about what's going on, drop them here in the comments. I'd love to hear about them. I'm sure other Corbett Report members would as well. Moving right along, the next edition of Solutions Watch was Poisoning Your Data, which was released in July 23rd. And for people who don't remember, poisoning your data, of course, I've talked about salting your data before, as in putting creative and incorrect information in places, strategic places, to confuse the would-be surveillance panopticon, surveillance state alphabet supers. But poisoning your data is a different thing. Well, what about data, for example, that's being snarfed up by all of these large language models and others that's incorporating you into these AI models? Is there a way that you can, for example, stop AI from taking your visual art and using it to train its own diffusion, stable diffusion monstrosity, whatever AI art is being generated. Well, yes, there are some ideas, and we went through that in this episode. So if you're interested in that, I will direct your attention there to learn more about the Glaze project and other such ideas, Nightshade and what have you. But I will direct your attention specifically to a comment from Home Remedy Supply, who had, I think, a good creative idea. He said, depending upon my time and the temperature at which my blood boils, I have taken to pushing back against the normalized data collection narrative. Their narrative is the crazy one, not mine. I aim to change the normalized data collection narrative, even if that change occurs only with a few people. And he goes to cite an example of how he does that, taking a survey app that he was asked to fill in at a company. And he says, your service was superb, but I am adamantly opposed to data harvesting and filling out this form. As you know, the digital ID central bank currency is coming. All money and all your online data will be grouped together. Big business and government is trying to monitor and control the population, just like China is doing now. In China, they turn off your money when you protest the government. If you are not aware of this agenda, you need to watch the Corbett Report. Well, thank you, Home Remedy Supply, and not just for plugging the Corbett Report, but for pushing back on this agenda, and for, to the extent that these sorts of survey apps and what have you are in any way monitored by human beings, it is a good way of trying to let people know, wake people up, at the very least show that we do not comply, we do not consent. I think that is an important thing to do. So anyway, it's an idea for how to respond to such things. Moving ahead, we had Read a Book, July 30th of 2024, of course, right before I went on my summer break. Working behind the scenes, and I suggested, well, people might want to read a book as a way of reconnecting with things that often don't get brought up in little 10-minute TikTok videos or whatever the kids are watching. So yes, indeed, read a book, like Hemoglobinopathy Diagnosis, which is a book I just happen to have sitting around here. Why not? Maybe not that book in particular, but there have been many books that I have talked about and cited this year, as well as every single year of the Corbett Report. So you can actually just type books into the search engine and you'll find lots of different books that I've talked about and recommended over the years. And maybe I'll have another book sometime in the new year for you. So keep on the edge of your seat for that. Let's move on to the next edition of Solutions Watch, How to Become a Very Independent Producer, which was my contribution to the Very Independent Producer Summit number 4 on Say No to the NWO. And in the comments, Mick H. points out that my technology has improved immensely over the years, my recording and what have you. And he has some questions. For example, I believe you're running your own server somewhere. I think you've done some threads on the technology you use. But what's your current thinking on the subject? Yeah, good questions, Mick. And if other people have specific questions about how do you record, what kind of microphone are you using, any specific things like that, leave them in the comments. If there are enough questions, if there's enough interest in it, I will do a future Solutions Watch episode answering those questions. I also had this from Jonathan, who says, my contribution is that, probably because my memory isn't as good as James's, in addition to filing things that may be useful someday in a folder, I put an entry in the Brain program on my computer. This will have a hyperlink to the stored file and to the website I got it from, and also Brain links to any related entries in my The Brain. This means that when I try and find an article I vaguely hope that I saved, even if I can't remember which of the possible topics hierarchies I filed it under, one very rapid search by The Brain on the aspect uppermost in my mind will almost certainly find it. I'm nothing like as productive as James, but I have written some worthwhile articles at What Do I Know, N-O, Substack. And there's the link so people can follow that and see more of Jonathan's work. But yeah, excellent. Yeah, I know, for example, Richard Grove uses The Brain and has talked about it, and I know that's useful for some people. So whatever works for you, I'm all about it. And that's another example of something that people find helpful. So check it out if you're interested. The next edition of Solutions Watch was The Future of Food is Ours to Decide, which was my contribution to the Attack on Food and Farmers and How to Fight Back symposium that was co-hosted by Door to Freedom and the Children's Health Defense. And it was a 2-day symposium, hours and hours and hours of presentations that are definitely worth checking out. And, well, in addition to my presentation, which I hope you did check out, obviously talking more about that future of food, that has been on my mind recently. There is many, many presentations by many people that is worth your time and attention. Obviously, for example, previous Corbett Report guests like Catherine Austin Fitz and Patrick Wood. But I also very much appreciated Andre Liu's presentation on healing our farms. Another standout for me was, for example, Alexis Baden-Mayer, who talked about Big Ag, the farm bill exposed Big Ag's push for fake food. So that was a good one. There's lots of good talks in here, so I hope you will check it out. And hey, it's New Year. You're on break. I'm not going to be producing anything for at least a week or so. And so sit back, relax, enjoy some videos about food and farmers and how we can take our food supply back. I think it would be a good investment of your time. Moving right along, the next edition of Solutions Watch was on filing FOIAs, which, as you may or may not remember, was my conversation with Philomena Johanny over at judicialwatch.org, talking about FOIAs. What are they? How do you go about filing them? What kind of information can you get from them? What has been pried out from the government through FOIA requests in the past? What have we learned as a result of Freedom of Information Act requests? And just as an example of how this is a continually relevant and always relevant story, just in recent weeks, for example, we had this from National Security Archive. And National Security Archive files a lawsuit against 12-year Freedom of Information backlog. Yes, suing the government because the National Archives and Records Administration is improperly, illegally sitting on records that have been FOIA'd for 12 years at this point. So important documents that, surprise, surprise, the government is sitting on. And yes, lawsuits can happen. And as we've seen with fluoride and other things, they can have an effect. So people can check that out. I'll put that link in the show notes. Another example of, in this case, not a FOIA, but at any rate, some information that was that came out this year that people have probably heard about, the RKI leak and the file download associated with that, has been making not only alternative media, but also the old establishment dinosaur media has even picked up on this story a little bit. Corbett reporteers, attentive Corbett reporteers, would already have been clued into this story way back by the end of September, early October, when I released my Replicon episode. And you'll remember that one of the speakers in one of the presentations there was talking about the RKI files before it blew up into a big story, at least in the English-speaking media. Next edition of Solutions Watch was November 13th, how to verify a quote. And as you'll recall, I went through a question someone had written in to ask about this quote that they were looking at, that they wanted to spread, but is it real? How do I know? So rather than simply giving my thumbs up, thumbs down verdict on that quote, I went through step by step. How can you find the source of the quote? What kinds of resources are available out there and how can you pin it down? Also, I think it should be obvious, but I think the reason that we do this is so that we actually have solid information, so that we don't lie for our truth or, you know, good enough. I know that the idea of this quotation is true, so it doesn't matter if it's actually a real quotation. No, I'm not going to lie or spread false information in the event, and just because I think I feel like it feels like the truth. No, I think it's incumbent on us to use real, verifiable, true information that we can document and source so that we will be more effective in our information dissemination efforts. And as part of this episode, you will recall, I put out the task. I put a little contest out there. The first person to verify four quotations that were being spewed in the comment section by Corbett reporter E.J. Doyle, to verify those quotes. Can you source them? Where do they come from? Are they sourceable? The first person to do that would win a Corbett Report cap. And there were a couple of takers. For example, AJ started the ball rolling, pointing out, for example, where the Paul Warburg quotation came from, although it had been subtly altered by E.J. Doyle to give a different meaning than what it actually means. But it was Corbett Report number CRM114 who won the cap with an exhaustive, very good deep dive, successfully and correctly finding all of the, well, sources or actually lack thereof of some of these quotes that are spurious quotations. As I say, one of the quotations altered to make it sound different than what it actually is, etc. So it is important to pin this sort of thing down and nip this disinformation in the bud. So CRM114. Congratulations on your cap. I never heard back if you actually received the cap. I know that that was sent out. I'm hoping that it has arrived at any rate. Happy capping. And I hope people have taken the lessons of that edition of Solutions Watch to heart and are applying those lessons in their own information dissemination efforts. The next edition of Solutions Watch was on November 19th, Becoming Sovereign, where we talked to Benny Wills, of course, previous Corbett Report guest. You know Benny Wills by now. And we talked to him about the Free Wills community that he has with 465 now and growing, free members of his community, learning how to thrive in a world that doesn't want you to, free courses to get started. And then there's, of course, the Sovereign Secrets paid membership community as well. And both of those are, of course, available at BennyWills.com, so people can sign up for either one of them. But, well, why take it from me? Let's hear from Benny about his update and what's happened since our Solutions Watch episode.
Hey, everybody. Benny here. First of all, a big thank you to you, James, for having me on the Solutions Watch show again for the fifth time. That's amazing. It's an honor, and I don't take it for granted. And I'm also super grateful for all of you who have checked out my communities, both Sovereign Secrets and Free Wills, my free community, and for all the people who have signed up. It's been a really exciting few weeks. There's been an influx of members in both communities. Just getting the chance to talk to so many of you, the viewers, the fans of The Corbett Report, has been thrilling for me. And if you want to take your service to humanity to the next level in 2025, we'll give you a roadmap to starting an online business that provides real-world value to real-world people and brings value to your life in return. You can sign up for Sovereign Secrets with a free 7-day free trial. So you can come in, check out the community, see what we're talking about, meet some members, check out the course, and come to a call. And if after 7 days you're like, I'm cool, not for me, no worries, you can walk away with no money having been exchanged. I hope your year is wrapping up well. I know December can be a weird month where things get foggy and you can kind of lose momentum on certain things. It can also be a little depressing for some. But let's start off 2025 on the right foot and get you into a place of action where you're helping people and getting paid as a result. Go to BennyWills.com, check out Sovereign Secrets, get your 7-day free trial, and I'll see you in the new year.
Thank you, Benny. Thank you for sending in that update. Looking forward to seeing what you do and get up to in the new year. But I am now literally officially out of hot chocolate. So it is time to wrap things up. And I want to get back to sharing the new year festivities with my family. So let's wrap it up with the final edition of Solutions Watch in 2024, other than this one. How use that RSS thing, which I hope you will recall, was responding to someone who was saying, I don't really know how to use RSS. And so I went through and talked about RSS, what it is, how it works. I showed examples of different RSS news clients and news readers that people can use and how to use them and OPMLs and all of that fun stuff. And I am extremely gratified to hear from several different people that they have started using RSS as a result of that episode. So please do let me know how December went, my December challenge. Just try RSS for a month, see how it works. I'd like to hear about it. I did hear from other people who said, you know, I don't get it. It's not for me. I only visit a few websites anyway, so it's easier for me just to visit them rather than to get some RSS thing. Okay, fair enough. Certainly it's a workflow that won't work for everyone. It will work for some. If it improves things for you, great. I will note that the person who originally prompted this question came in to say, I still don't get it. So, okay, maybe RSS is not for you. But it is for some people, and I hope it does make things a little easier for people. As I know for me, as someone who keeps tracks of literally 100+ websites on pretty much a daily basis, I need something like RSS to help me sort through all of that without going through social media middleman nonsense. But here's something. All right. So, as you may or may not have noticed, no one has ever, ever, ever talked to me about this, so I guess no one notices, but you will notice that I believe Solutions Watch is not available on the Apple Podcast Store. If you go to Apple Podcasts and you type in Solutions Watch, I don't think you're going to get it. You're going to get my other podcasts that are up there, but not Solutions Watch. And I remember doing that specifically. I'm not going to upload Solutions Watch to Apple Podcasts, because screw them, we don't need Apple as a middleman to get RSS feeds. And I thought, people will figure it out how to subscribe to this. Hopefully, most people don't use Apple Podcasts. Hopefully, people have different podcatchers. But for those who do, have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed you can't subscribe to this podcast there? Well, how do you do it if it's not on the Apple Podcasts? Well, you can subscribe to any RSS feed at any time, even if you use Apple Podcasts as your podcast player. With the RSS feed, you can plug it in there. So I'll just show people where they can get that if they're interested. Of course, on CorbettReport.com, which you go to every day, unless you have a new RSS and follow it that way. And just hint, word for the wise, have you ever noticed my documentaries are all available down here at the bottom of CorbettReport.com? To this day, I still get people, where are your documentaries? You make them so hard to find. I know. I'm sorry. You have to scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Anyway, if you go over to the RSS tab, you will, of course, find the Solutions Watch RSS feed here. And if you copy that and paste that into Apple Podcasts or any other podcatcher, you will be able to subscribe to the Solutions Watch podcast, which I hope you are, if you use podcasts at all. All right. I'm done. That's a lot of information. I'm sure you're done. For the three people who have made it all the way to the end of this year-end review, thank you for being here and making this possible. Obviously, Solutions Watch is not about James Corbett. It is about what you guys out there are doing. So as long as people are out there doing things in the real world, affecting real change, I will do my part to bring attention to that and to shine a light on it, because I am grateful for the fact that there are people who are seeing through this agenda and waking up. As you know by now, I think that if not the death of globalism, at least the turning of the tide is happening, and it's happening because of people out there who are spreading the word. So thank you all for being there with me as I'm documenting this, and let's keep doing it in 2025. But on that note, just a little bit of housekeeping before I wrap up for the year. This will be my final contribution for 2024, and then I'll be taking a week or so off to start the new year. So in the meantime, I will be doing a bit of housekeeping in the back end, and I will be deleting all the inactive expired members from my database. I don't want your email or your data or anything on my servers if you are not a member. You don't want it there either, in case whatever, it ever gets hacked or stolen or whatever. You don't want to be there. So I will be removing all the old members, all inactive expired members. But I do know that there are some people, because of the way that the system used to work before I got the website redesign, I had to basically keep renewing your expiry date every year, even if you were actually paying. So there are some people who are probably inactive members who are actually paying members. If that is you, please do log in, check your profile, see if you are listed as an inactive or expired member, because I will be deleting your account in the near future. If that happens, just let me know, we'll sort it out and I'll reinstitute you, but probably easier to get it done and bring it to my attention before that happens. At any rate, that's just something to note. If you are not an active paying member of the Corbett Report, you will be deleted from the database in the coming days. Having said that, let's not leave it on a housekeeping note. Let's leave it on something nicer altogether. And I just want to, well, give my thanks to a listener out there who sent in, "Thank you, Corbett Report," a little ditty that was sent in earlier this year from a channel on, well, YouTube, but presumably elsewhere, called the Heavenly Pancake. And this is a very, very, very homemade DIY song/video. I'm just going to play as is. So thank you to the Heavenly Pancake for sending this in and creating this. It warmed the cockles of my heart on these cold New Year's era times. Whatever. You get what I'm saying. I can't even speak anymore because I am so done. So I'm going to take a week off and recharge the batteries. Thank you again for all your support, monetary and otherwise. It all does make a difference and it is appreciated. And on that note, thank you all out there. Looking forward to 2025. Let's do it together. See you soon.
Who gets to choose what's in the news? The little box, little box, little box, the news. Talk about today and forget it tomorrow. Moving on to something new. Well, Corbett reports an exploration of the greater things, the bigger things, important for our lives. Corbett invites his audience to think with their own mind. We love you, James Corbett, and we love New World next week with Media Monarchy 2. Corbett reports an exploration of the greater things important for our lives.